Here.
Belong?
Here.
Decker?
Here.
Powell?
Here.
Gilbert?
Here.
And Mayor Prisanka?
Here. And Kim, just remind me again, for an update, do we need to worry about conflict, given that there's no decision-making going to be taking place?
I don't believe so. I think if it was something that was more extensive for fisheries or something that was of interest to assembly members, maybe, but otherwise, no.
Okay, thank you. I agree. I don't think there's any reason. Okay, I don't think there's any other official business. We can move into the update with City Manager Von Bargen.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I don't have a lot since we just had an update on Tuesday as well. There is a town hall meeting by the state tonight that will be going over the topic will be economic help for individuals. Apparently there will be another town hall meeting next week, and that the subject of that will be economic help for businesses. But we encourage people to stay tuned for those town hall meetings that the state is putting on. The EOC, members of the EOC are working closely with Sea Level, helping them prepare for bringing their crews in. I can't go into details, but I will just let you know that we're working very closely with them to assist in a number of different ways. We are anticipating, based on a statewide emergency managers meeting yesterday, changes coming to mandate 10 related to interstate travel, and don't quite know what those will be yet. We had heard, it's been stated in a number of different occasions that the quarantine for interstate travel would not be lifted unless there is a far more robust testing scheme in place, but we're not sure what's to come. What is anticipated apparently is a more robust requirement for quarantine for fishermen or processors, or that will stay in place even if the other portions of the quarantine are lifted. There will also apparently be additional guidance coming out for hunting and fishing guides and hunting and fishing lodges, which are apparently the workers at which are considered to be critical infrastructure. So waiting for that. We are looking at mass community testing coming out here shortly, or the availability of further community testing coming out. And Captain Spray has been looking at how other communities are doing that, because we've got places like Ketchikan that's opened up testing sites and are just rolling people through very quickly. And so we're looking to see what our options might be here for Wrangell. One of the questions that has come up is, can we as a community jail mandate testing for people that are brought in for incarceration? The answer has been bebopped, ping-ponged back and forth between numerous departments at the state, Department of Law, Department of Corrections, the state SEOC, and what they have said is use the CDC guidelines, which have not been updated since early April. So that's what we're doing right now. And our understanding is unless someone is presenting symptoms, the answer is no. I received a request from the school district for the possibility of assistance with preparing, using some of the city's CARE funds to implement some protective measures in the school facilities. And I'm waiting for additional detail on that, and then we will bring that to the assembly. The other thing we are working on doing is putting together a spreadsheet of things that are anticipated expenditures related to the CARES funding, specifically like reimbursements for staff time and things like that. And then there are a number of, I hate to say nickel dime, but small things that we have used the CARES Act funding for, like porta potties and just a number of things I can't think of. You know, the hand sanitizer that was purchased. There are many items like that are small expenditures, but of course they're all going to add up, and the assembly needs a full accounting of those things. So we're looking at putting that together for you, especially as requests start to come in for some of these bigger things. And of course, on the agenda for our meeting following this is the purchase of an ambulance at $205,000. So we're, and at the meeting on Tuesday, the assembly approved $400,000 for community distribution projects. So we're starting to get into what I like to call real money. And we wanna make sure that we're tracking that very closely. Not only that we're tracking that internally, but that you and the community have a full accounting of how that money is being spent. One of the things that I also want to bring to the assembly's attention and to the community's attention, for those that may be listening, is that they are seeing an increase in suicide and mental health concerns. This is something that has been talked about a bit ongoing for the last few weeks, but as the stress and the intensity related to COVID, the impacts of COVID, whether they be economic or social or family or health, are starting to take their toll on folks, or are continuing to take their toll. And I just want to encourage everybody to make sure you're reaching out to friends, family, folks that you may know that need a little bit of extra help or assistance, folks who are having to socially distance or isolate themselves because of potential health concerns, and may not be getting out and getting the social interaction that they need. I just encourage everyone to keep a watchful and a helpful eye out for your neighbors and your friends and your family, and make sure that we are protecting, we're protecting everyone that we know and love from the mental health tolls associated with this. As you know, on Tuesday, we also had an initial discussion regarding 4th of July. Since then, there have been some actions taken around the state. For instance, both Juneau and Douglas have canceled their 4th of July, but we don't know what things are going to come down the pipe. So anyway, we will continue to move forward, hopefully with the groups from the chamber submitting their plans to us to see what we can do here in Wrangell. And Captain Spray and Chief Buness are both on the line. I don't know if they've got anything to add to my update.
Sure. I just want to add to the discussion about the large gatherings and considering the 4th of July. I was able to sit in on that discussion today, and we were under the impression that all of the any of the large gatherings needed to be submitted to the state for approval, so to speak. And they were very quick to say, no, they're just going to be offering some guidance. They're not approving or denying plans. They're just going to be kind of looking at it with you and offering support. So they're putting it solely in the community's hands to do the right thing, using social distancing, the good hygiene, and washing surfaces kind of as the higher priority of considerations as people put together their plans of having a gathering, whether it be a concert or specifically for us for the 4th of July. So I know Stephanie with the chamber was on, Jamie Roberts and myself and a plethora of other people who had the same questions over and over on the side, and have since they've developed another echo call, like a Zoom meeting specifically for those who wanted to have sporting events, and one for those who wanted to have 4th of July events. And so they're kind of separating it so those groups can discuss ideas as they move forward. So that they're going to put out another schedule for that. So they kind of recognize they received upwards of 2,100 plans for fisheries. and their response and reviewing those plans was ineffective. And so they said, you know, there wouldn't be a good way for everyone to submit plans for moving forward with the 4th of July. So anyways, they are just going to be offering some guidance there rather than approval of plans. So that was interesting. And on a separate note, just not to be the bearer of bad news, but the state had received word that yesterday's case counts were at 13, which is our second highest date to note. Our largest was back March 30th with 14 cases. A number of those came from the Kenai Peninsula. And on a call with Dr. Levy, the medical director for the Matsu and Kenai area, I believe, spoke about some instances where specifically where some of those folks were completely asymptomatic and just happened to be tested because they were being transferred for other reasons. And in turn, some of their EMS personnel are now in quarantine because they were a negative screen. And so didn't have full gloves, eye protection, face shield, and gown on. And so there was the potential for exposure there. So he just encouraged everybody that to try to keep our social bubble to a minimum and not let our guard down like he sees a lot of folks doing already. And so to really be diligent in our social distance, our hand washing, our personal hygiene, and washing surfaces, just because they believe that viral load can be present with the asymptomatic, as they've found roughly 80 people. So that was discouraging news, I guess, as we move forward.
Dorianne, are you looking at changing your policies around ambulance one and ambulance two?
Of course we are. We have no choice but to change those our protocols and kind of how we proceed now.
And do we have enough PPE to make that happen? I know this has been a concern moving forward.
We had placed orders that were back order, but we were able still to place the order. And we've put together a 213. I think we're going to be upping the gowns request there and our face masks. So we've also WCA reached out to offer some support for some N95s and some procedural masks as well as gowns. Offered to include us in that request or in that order that they were putting together. So hopefully we'll be able to get some more PPE through that avenue as well.
Is there any possibility of getting any of the Chinese knockoffs that showed up into the state, the N95, N or whatever it was?
The KN95. So a lot of that has been distributed. The state is expecting to receive another very large shipment, just like the one that they received from China, from California within the next 2 weeks. So hopefully that will be received and they will break it apart, inventory, and ship it out to based on what 213 requests that they've received. So
thank you.
Mr. Mayor, I don't have anything else at this time.
Sounds good. I've got a bit of good news. Lisa and I are going to meet after the ambulance meeting tonight to take a look at two proposals for our COVID isolation facility. So if we're able to finish that project up in the near term, that was sort of, for me, the last piece to deal with capacity for our community. And I think I will let out a little sigh of relief if we have that in place for people who test positive but are asymptomatic and don't have upland residents. So that will give us a place for them to go. So we're getting much closer than we were 2 weeks ago to having that finalized. It's been kind of epic. And does anybody have any questions for Lisa or for Dee Dee or Tim on COVID update stuff? Yes, Maya, go ahead.
This is just a comment kind of coming from the chamber that we're going to have kind of an emergency meeting because I think the climate has changed from our 4th of July meeting. As Stephanie sat in on the meeting that Dee Dee spoke about. So yeah, we're just looking at, we don't know what those changes are yet, but the chamber is addressing them and we're gonna kind of rework and revisit all of that. So that just that's in the work that Stephanie's already called an emergency meeting to really kind of give us more details on the large gathering updates.
Thank you. Julie.
Thanks. I wanted to ask Dee Dee a little bit more specifics about the mayor asked you if you're going to change your procedures for EMS, and so I'm you didn't really elaborate, but I'm assuming you're going to like assume everybody's COVID positive. Is that what you mean?
Yeah. Okay, we kind of have to. Yeah. Right now on our negative screens, we are allowing, or we are not wearing a full gown and a face shield, but with the information that's kind of coming out, not only with the last case count and Dr. Levy's, but numerous other reports, more folks are asymptomatic than are that full-blown sick. So, and are screening positive. So we don't have a choice but to change that and wearing our gown, our masks, excuse me, our eye protection and our face shield. And limiting the number of folks who are in the patient compartment. We've already done that. We've moved to 2 to 3 folks. And with our negative screens, it was kind of moving in that 4 to 5. So we'll need to backtrack.
Do you anticipate, sorry, go ahead, Julie. I'm just following up with that. Do you anticipate any shortages of EMTs given that we're going to the more intense side?
Yep, absolutely. We still, we only have our 13 responders that are fit tested for the N95. So that's what we're going to be limited to. And if we have any exposure issues, those guys need to quarantine, so that will be removed from active participation
Thank
for 14 days.
Julie, do you have a follow-up? Sorry, I didn't mean to jump in front of you there.
No, that's okay. I was just curious, and so when folks might come in on an emergency call, even if they're not showing any symptoms, do you know if the procedure will be to, once they arrive, to automatically test them to find out at that point?
That I don't know. And actually, we've got to sit down with our medical director, Dr. Prasanka, and kind of go over how we're changing things or, as we move forward. So I don't know about the testing piece. That's all on the emergency department.
Anne, you had your hand up there. I just missed
yes,
you there.
Yes, I have a question for Maya concerning insurance for the 4th of July. And I asked on Tuesday if that insurance covered the food booths. Now, what does it cover in the food booths? Does it cover liability from getting COVID from a food booth?
So according to CF James, nobody's offering COVID insurance. So that's not a viable thing. Mm-hmm. We're just renewed every type of insurance that we've had in the past. Again, but no special COVID. Apparently it's not available or
probably doesn't exist yet.
Yeah. And again, right before signing on to this meeting, we need to have another chamber meeting because I think it was a game changer with the large social gathering and just some of the meetings that Stephanie's been in on. So right. Things have even changed since Tuesday's, I guess that's what day that was. that we talked about the 4th of July, so yeah.
Okay, thanks for that information.
And Maya, you still had your hand up. Did you wanna make another comment? Okay, you're all good. Anyone else, comments or questions, thoughts? Okay, Thank you very much, Lisa, for the update. That's excellent. And we will recess out of the COVID update for about 8 minutes and join back in. Oh, sorry, Julie, go ahead. Yep.
Thanks. I just had a an additional question on the isolation facility you guys are working on. I don't know how much thought that has gone into. So this will be like a city facility, and so particularly if people come in and they're not symptomatic, so they're not really sick. You know, they're not experiencing any kind of health decline. What happens, you know, will we have monitoring of them, and what if their health does start to decline, and kind of some liability issues around the fact that this is a city facility, that kind of stuff? Has that been thought about?
So yes, there'll be health monitoring going on. The temperature will be taken twice a day, and if they feel ill, they'll be taken to the hospital. This is only for people who are no symptoms or extremely mild symptoms. As soon as they have symptoms, they're out of here, right? That's our plan. The hospital will medevac them to Sitka or wherever, and they will go into the hospital there. But this is for someone who, say, comes in off a SANE boat, winds up getting tested. Through the course of the testing, it's determined they're positive, but I feel fine, but I now have to wait 2 weeks and then be tested 3 negative tests before I can rejoin my crew to go back out fishing. This is that, that's the facility for them. And we are not at this point, we're just trying to secure a facility, get the basic stuff in, and then we'll be working on insurance and everything else as we go along. But there's no doubt about it. It is city sponsored, city sanctioned thing. So we're gonna have that, wear that liability. But the problem is that it's a damned if you do and a damned if you don't, Julie. If we don't have someplace for people to go, and Jake doesn't want them into the hotel, where do they go? And you know, that's our worry.
Well, I want to be clear here. I 100% support the idea of the city having an isolation facility. I think it's a very smart, proactive move. However, it is, I mean, we don't really know what percentage are asymptomatic walking around because we just haven't done enough testing everywhere to know what that is. We know there's some. But also, of the ones that are positive, we know it's roughly 80% that only have mild symptoms. So that's what I'm wondering about is, you know, because, you know, so mild symptoms mean like, okay, well, I feel like I have a cold or a slight flu, don't feel very good, but, you know, I'm not, those people wouldn't be going to the hospital. So anyway, that's the kind of thing that I would assume would be in an isolation facility, either asymptomatic or mild symptoms. But
absolutely, anybody with anything that needs medical monitoring will be at the hospital, and they'll be medevaced out to Sitka. So that's anyone, that's the plan for the hospital. This is for people who don't meet that threshold of being shipped out. They're not sick enough, they don't have a medical reason to be shipped.
And so I guess my question is then, just who's actually monitoring that and making that determination?
We're hiring a manager, and we'll get into all the details here as we go along. Right now, we just had to find a place because we didn't know what they would be managing. So it's hard to staff for you when you don't know what the facility is. So the first thing to do is figure out a place to do this in, and then that determines everything else. So the first phase is get the place, figure it out, and then we'll be looking at how it's going to be staffed up. And we're looking at contracts with the hospital for things like laundry, for things like housekeeping will be done by professional people that do the same work for the hospital. So, but we'll bring a full plan forward. There's no sense beating it all up here tonight because it's, again, we haven't even got the facility yet. We got to get that in place first.
Okay.
Lisa.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. I completely forgot to invite Kim to give an update on the hand sanitizer distribution that happened from City Hall today.
Okay, really quick, because we have 3 minutes. So we had about 16 businesses come into City Hall and practicing social distancing, wearing their masks through the back door of the assembly chambers. Carol and I filled their bottles up to 16 ounces. I think it was a great success. And if there are any businesses out there that were not able to come in, just give us a call or at City Hall 874-2381, and you can come in and I'll fill up your bottle for you up to 16 ounces. And in the future, we're going to look at expanding or giving more of that out. We just kind of wanted to get the ball rolling.
Great. Well, fantastic. Any other questions or comments? All right, we got 2 minutes. Relax.